You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to The Happy Hour on RNIB Connect Radio. With a rise in meningitis cases amongst students last month, the UK Health Security Agency has announced a free, time-limited MenB vaccination programme for 1 million eligible young people in the current academic year. Now, today we're joined by Patricia, who contracted meningitis in her late 30s back in 2006 and was left with long-term side effects on her sight, hearing, taste and mobility. And Patricia joins us now. Let's start with, how did you get connected with us, RNIB Connect Radio, and how did you learn about RNIB?
Well, RNIB have been around for a long while, and I really took interest. I'm a librarian by profession. I qualified as a librarian many years ago. And before libraries became the library they are today, we were familiar with the jury system and the paper form type of filing system. And along the way, we gradually introduced record, vinyl, CDs, cassettes, and RNIB, talking books, and so on. We call them talking books, but they're audio books now. They're classified as. So I'm quite familiar with audio materials, and RNIB came alongside of myself in terms of knowledge when I became unwell with meningitis. And why I mention meningitis, because we now know today, there's been lots of conversation in Parliament. We had students studying who contracted meningitis, some of whom have died, sadly to say. And when I became unwell with meningitis, which robbed me of lots of neurological difficulties I suffered, vision being one of them, hearing and so on, so my ability changed somewhat. And thankfully, I had access and knowledge of what other materials were made available. Do you know what I mean? So I then tapped into the RNIB just to ask what services they have to help me during my recovery stages, because one couldn't really predict how long these difficulties would exist, because it was a lot of fluid on my brain, lots of nerve end damage, you know, because it was a head injury classified as. Lots of breakdowns happened, so it was important for someone like me to reach out to all the services that I'd already known were there, because as librarians we do a lot of research, so we kind of have knowledge prematurely. So when I contacted RNIB, it was like we became best friends ever. So the purpose today is really to contribute and give back, to say thank you for being there and for helping in times of need, and more so given that we've had cases of meningitis at discussion more than ever before. Those who have been affected may struggle with what they're left with, you know, which is the after effects, and may not know what to do because you become kind of paralysed in that respect.
Patricia, how old were you when you contracted meningitis?
I think I was about 40, quite a mature person, 39 or 40, I think it was. And I'll tell you what I remember, because I'm someone that did a lot of political studies as well, and I took up the polling duty at the election, and it was a Thursday, 2006, and I remember having the election, the ballot box with me when I was taken into hospital. And as you know, that's a confidential item I had on me, and that box had to be delivered back to the office, and had to get my partner at the time to do that. And that was the last word on my brain that I kept repeating over and over again, apparently, when I was admitted. So it was election day that I was admitted to hospital with the ballot box, which had to be taken from me. And that's all I had on my mind. I couldn't remember anything else but the ballot box. I didn't thought I'd make it, but I lost parts of my vision, parts of my hearing, parts of my sense of smell, parts of sense of touch. The whole body spoke a different language, so I had to relearn. The nerves are damaged, but I have to work with what present themselves from time to time. So, yeah, I'm just happy to be here.
And Patricia, the effects, long-term effects of meningitis, are you still affected in the same way, or have some symptoms maybe improved over time? What was your recovery like?
Well, this is interesting because it took me about many years, I think possibly 4 years, I think, in total to really start walking. People often say to me, how do you feel about it? And I said, well, I don't feel nothing about it because, for one, I've never been in hospital before and I quite liked and appreciated the rest, having a rest, having a break. And they had to kick me out because they said I've never met a patient like me before who never wanted to leave. But that was a good recovery in my mind. But it took a while, but it's hard to explain because I kept a little diary as such of the barriers. And the barriers, meaning my hearing had kind of gone, so I couldn't identify sounds. So then that put me at risk. And at the same time, my legs weren't strong enough. So when my partner, because we lived together at the time, was at work, I had to find a way to get moving. It was step by step, but I think my biggest saviour was the fact that I studied data acquisition and provision. So I did a lot of policy documents studying. That was my biggest strength to my survival because my brain strengthened. So the intellect very much came back and it just might be a bit slower. And then I'll have the odd numbness at times. And these were constant by nature, but unpredictable. So you never know how the body was working. You couldn't trust it because I remember once doing a long walk thinking I was okay to walk, say, a mile. Felt okay doing it, but then at the end I was falling, but I didn't know I was falling, literally just, you know, heading to the pavement. And I realised I was getting closer to the pavement and I couldn't stretch my hand out to stop. What I did do, however, I said to my head or my brain, stop, stop, stop. Three stops, I said, and each time I expressed those words, I gradually leaving myself back up because the arms wouldn't go out. And that was when I realised I'm not that properly well. So it's almost like the body's numb, you're moving, but you can't gauge when you've overdone it or underdone it. Does that make sense?
I imagine that was really scary time for you as well.
Yeah, because you just can't, you feel as though you can do it, but you're not sure until you're doing it, something occurs. So just not knowing or understanding the new body that I was left with was quite challenging.
Mm.
However, I kept pushing. And because I'm from a big family, my grandma, she died 105, remembering how she was so active kept me going as well, because up against 100-year-old, you know what I mean? You keep that positive mindset that I can definitely
You have
do
to
it.
outdo your grandma, don't you? You have to live 106.
It's quite embarrassing, really. So I refused to accept it. So that was silently in my mind anyway. So it's been a weird experience, but at the same time, I've proven to myself that I've been really, you know what I mean? Hard
tenacious.
To break. Yes, tenacious for sure. And the body just suffered a shock. And that was it. So I didn't have low mood or anything like that. I was quite the opposite. And I think that's why the hospital staff found me very unusual, because I said, I don't really want visitors, just the flowers, because I love colours. And they just found me. We had the best time in hospital. I laughed nonstop. And I think a positive mind, which is one of the things that they commented on, the nurse or the healthcare team, My outlook and my positivity was my strength, apparently, during my time of stay, because I think I was in hospital for about a month or something like that, a long time, you know. So, yeah, it was an experience that I really could never get over, but at the same time, it really shaped me more and it really proved to me, it's a knowledge you gain about yourself, you know, and that. So when I started to get my taste back, it was great, but then it will go again. So it was up and down with the body from time to time. So as we speak today, I have different days, different moments when things may change, but I'd never really sit and dwell on it. I still push myself. You know, when I had visual difficulties, I still went out. No one would know any difference and try to get about. And I remember when I had a bit of difficulty and I had an appointment and I asked where the room I was meant to be going into to visit the healthcare team. And I remember the staff saying, can't you see? It's just over there. And I said to her, no, I can't. I can't, actually. And I think you need to have it bold print. And that assumption pushed me more to do things for the invisible or the unseen different ability we have. So I'm quite a champion for what's not made available to the eye, not readily available to the eye, because I've already had the shift in body change imposed upon me, if you like. So, yeah, so it's something that I really feel passionate about now. So I'm very much happy to share this with the RNIB, because I think you guys are really great information provision, and I hadn't known much about what you did and all the services you had in store until I took time out and looked into you more, and I thought, wow, and able to share that with others who had no idea. So it's twofold.
Patricia, when you were going through all these changes and obviously having these side effects, what services did you take advantage of when it came to what RNIB provided at the time?
Well, what I did at RNIB, and I have to put them on the top of the list because I had tried other services. Because when you have meningitis, it's to do with fluid on the brain. So you end up having severe damages in various parts of the brain. So you have the hearing that will come and go. It could be the right today, it could be the left tomorrow, it could be both left and right the next day. It could be a day, it's day, that could be a week, it could be a month. It's up and down, it fluctuates. So what I found with these guys is that when I tapped into them at the time when I had difficulties recovering, they shared, because I'm a swimmer as well, and they shared that they do swimming. And I said, you've got to be joking. And I was so moved by that. One, because I had to curb my swimming now, because with the brain injury, the straight line I thought I could go into, I ended up bumping into others in the swimming pool going left. So when I meant to be going right, I was going left, unaware. And then we had lots of whistles from the lifeguard because they thought this woman's forever causing problems. So we had a lot of laugh about it. But then it got much, and I thought I couldn't quite, you know, gauge the right time to go swimming. It was too much thinking, and the brain is not strong enough to keep thinking and planning what day should I go, what time should I go. So I just thought, let's give RNIB a tap in. And I tapped into them, and they had a few swimming activities. And I said, really? So I really quizzed them a bit more about it. They were very user-friendly with what they shared. So I was able to listen carefully and then went and had a swim. And my goodness, I was so excited. Well, they must have thought this woman isn't very well, because I couldn't believe I had all that space. I could swim. I felt so, it was a space for me. So whether I went left or right, it didn't matter. And I think my swimming improved because I was relaxed in an environment I classified designed for someone like myself at the time.
Do you still swim, or do you do other sports these days?
I do swim and try and do others. But again, when, say, for example, it's very hot or it's very cold, and you might have symptoms that occur because it's all unannounced. You know, the nerves have already been damaged, let's face it. So we have this moment when it shows up and when it doesn't show up. So for me, it's a case of, oh, goodness, I think I'm going to have a plan A and a plan B. So during the months of smoothness, I can go to the normal leisure. When B occurs, I can go to this. You know what I mean?
Okay, so you're prepared for any, I guess, instance or of whatever's happening in your body. You can adjust things so they work for you.
Yeah, I have to be prematurely planning. So that means I'm aware of some of the symptoms that might be there. So, for example, if I'm, say, feeling though the, just saying, for example, I feel okay, but I may go for a swim today, feeling okay. And I won't know until I'm in the water that I think, hang on a minute, but I thought I was okay, but then the body's taking me left and I can't get it to go right. You know what I mean? So it's like the body won't do what you want it to do. This is one of the things I was learning, which is weird, because you can't make it go right when it's going left. Okay, so if I go swimming today in the normal leisure pool, for example, feeling normal when I'm leaving here, I may then discover that, well, no, you're going left. That means you need to go to the plan B.
For someone who's gone through something that's changed your life quite a lot, and as you said, you have this sunny disposition, you're so optimistic, and you're, you know, planning all these things and making sure you can still take advantage of your day and still enjoy your day and do the things you enjoy no matter what is happening. And have you always had this disposition, or...
Yeah, that's my mindset. I was born of this because I'm from a big family, and my father, when they came here, they had to find ways to survive. And from a big family, you have siblings, seven in total. mum raising the kid, dad at work. So my father was one of these guys who budget very well. So he'll give us all a penny each, and he'll see me using my penny to spend on my siblings whilst I leave myself without. So these are the little things he used to talk about and celebrate with myself as a person. As you're a toddler and you're growing, you constantly hear your parents share how you're very handy. You know, so watching how my dad attended to us as children because he was the working man and budgeted well to raise us and all have our clothing and finding ways for us to survive was one of the best things ever. So it's something that I was witness to already. And then I have my grandma who had 13 children, and she also did that. So it's really a trickle-down domino effect, I think. Enjoying life is the main thing we have to do, because we're only here once, so what we're going to do with the time we've got left. So when you have that attitude, I feel that's how I've always adapted my world around things. So if this is the situation, what you're going to do about it? Sit and whinge or try and do something. Work with the body that you've got. Work with the cash that you have. You know, so it's always planning how to make use of what's readily available. You know, and that's every situation. So I'm always someone that's planning A, B, C, D. I've got plan A to that, and I usually say my library is full of books for me, because I always try and get about. And I think this is why I'm always happy to give back, because I witness individuals, communities who find it hard to do basic things. And I always say, you know, why don't you try this way? This is how we did this. This is how we got that. This is how what I did. Whether you take it or take it not, it's not my affair. But giving back is not that painful, not that deep. And something my father used to always say, you cannot live in this world on your own. And that's another statement that stayed with me as well. So, I learned when I was in hospital, that's why I think they said in hospital, oh my goodness, you're a very unusual person. I was laughing. You'd think I was never unwell. I said, I'm very well, but just that I want to stay in and I don't want any visitors. I just want the flowers and then they can leave. And this is literally because I wanted a break, and I've never had a break to sit still. So for me, it was a wonderful, weird experience. So it's a lot of things. But the swimming was the most funniest, because I was bumping into everyone. So I said, it's okay, I've just had a bit of a difficulty, that's all. But not everyone would find it funny, especially those that are trying to swim naturally, you know, normally. So So it's one of those things. But happiness is the key to everything. Not saying every day the same. Not every day the same, but at least find one thing, even if the butterfly that's landed on the window ledge.
I feel like on that absolutely wonderful note, Patricia, I think it's been so lovely speaking with you and hearing how positive you are. And thank you so much for sharing your story, because I feel like it can really change someone's life hearing from someone like yourself who's went through it, and really appreciate you making time for us today on the Happy Hour.
And I'm thankful for that. And can I just say one, I'll leave you with one last thing.
Please do.
Why this is important today, meningitis, because it's now been receiving lots of coverage with the students that have been unwell. Some have died. And there's conversations going on at the moment as we speak about the MenB vaccination. And for someone like myself, seeing all that information starting to roll out, I thought, wow, none of that was made available the way it has been today, the way I'm seeing it. So one of the things I've been paying attention to, listening to, yes, we know the symptoms, it's listed and it's repeated time and time again, but what I don't hear is what one's left with, the aftermath, okay? And that could be the hearing loss, the visual loss, whatever. So why RNIB is great here right now, because this is something that could be shared with someone who has had the meningitis situation recently, who may be having difficulty with their vision but don't know what to do. Do you see what I mean? So the RNIB will serve really grateful to now share something like this, or wherever, you know, they can make it available in case there's someone who has had this change in their body, might not be speaking about it, and worse still, don't know where to go to get help, even if it's for the short term. But just having the RNIB there is good enough, because the vision can come and it could go. It could be short term, it could be long term, it could return. Just having a service like yourself readily available is great for any person who has survived the meningitis recently, bouts of it, they can turn upon you. And I haven't heard no one discuss that or hearing loss or anything associated with the after effects. That's what the news hasn't been covering. So I'm filling that gap today.
Well, Patricia, thank you so much again for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.